in the spirit of full disclosure, I have a cold and I'm going to cough or sneeze or something maybe during the message time. But just so you know, twice now I have been tested for COVID-19 and the test results keep coming back negative. So I think this is just a common cold. Will you pray with me? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past June, while I was pastoring at the Rostron Mennonite Church, we participated in two baptismal services. Well, actually, we talked about it as being one, but there were two parts to it. One happened in the church sanctuary and one happened at the lake. In both cases, we attempted to stay true to the intent of baptism, as Paul suggests, dead to sin, alive in grace. So this is how it happened. With two of the candidates, we explored faith. We had what we call faith exploration classes, and we had them via Zoom. And eventually, the only time that worked for us was at 8:30 on Friday mornings. And so we all got up and talked about our faith. The third person had already taken classes as a teenager, and now as a mother with three children, she had decided it was time to make a more formal commitment to the community church, to the church and its community, to belong more intentionally, to participate in the work that was taking shape in that place. So on the morning of the baptism, we also dedicated these three young children to God and to the work that was happening at the church. There were 20 people that sat in the pews. Remember, this was the time of COVID-19 with physical distancing and self-isolation in place. Each of the baptismal candidates told their faith stories, very similar to what Melody has just done. And the service was live-streamed to all the church members. The young mother was baptized by pouring during the service. And then her husband came up and the two of them dedicated themselves and their three children into Christ's body. The church chairperson welcomed them into Rostron Mennonite Church, a part of the larger church community. Now the two high school students chose rather to be baptized by immersion. So after the morning service, we made our way to a family cottage at Christopher Lake. The sky was overcast and the wind blew directly off the lake. We found a spot where the water from Emma Lake was flowing into Christopher. This moving, clear water was an ideal spot for a baptism. We were reminded of the presence of the Holy Spirit when we spotted a gull flying overhead and the bird came down and dipped into the water as if blessing it for baptism. After a picnic lunch, properly distanced from other family groupings, we spoke a prayer of gratitude and entered the water with each of the candidates. The church chairperson and I dipped the young women one at a time, submerging them from head to foot, following the words of baptism. Accompanied by some whoops and cheers, they emerged from the baptismal waters, drenched and beaming. The church chairperson then welcomed them into the fellowship of Rostron Mennonite Church, church family. The symbolism of death to sin and emerging into a new life were hard to miss. As you well know, we have been working through the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the new Christians there. And the image that Paul uses for baptism speaks of dying with Christ and being raised to new life in Christ through resurrection. For Paul, baptism is a big deal. In 11 of his letters, he talks about the meaning of baptism, and he uses various images to do that. In the book, A Letter to Galatians, he talks about being clothed with Christ. Now, to be clothed with is to become a new person, to take on the character, virtues, and intentions of that person. And the result is to be unity. It matters not the age and experience of the person, nor the race or ethnic origins, nor their gender or class. Baptism is about creating a new reality, a new status of oneness and equality amongst all believers. That last phrase is a quote from John Taves. Paul also speaks of believers becoming baptized by one spirit into one body. This from his letter to the church in Corinth. This body with its various different parts is intended for the well-being of all. The body in unity. But here in the book of Romans, Paul focuses more on the baptism into Christ in order that sin will no longer have its way with us. Baptism negates the past life, death to sin, and initiates people into a new reality, newness of life. While sin divides, baptism creates unity. Relationships are transformed. We die to the old and are born to the new. We experience life with God. We are clothed with Christ. We are wet from head to toe, and when we dry off, we live oriented to life in Christ. Our worldview changes. Our commitments are more in line with Christ's intentions for the world. A new world order is created through the faithful workings of God, the one who raised Christ from the dead. This dying and rising with Christ is both an eschatological event that means something in the future after we die, and a current reality today, right here, right now. At Lutheran Theological Seminary, we heard a lot about the already, not yet experience with Christ. Being baptized into the body of Christ, we are one that of those already, not yet experiences. We are already living in Christ, but not yet in its fullness. Water is the medium through which we enact baptism. Water, whether we are sprinkled with it or poured on it, on by it, or immersed in it, symbolizes a decisive event in response to the past. We say no to something, in this case, no to sin. The baptismal waters also encourage us to learn to swim. You see, the old world continues to exist, and it has a magnetic pull on all humans. Sin continues to entice. We need to continually say no to the former in order to be able to say yes to the future. In more liturgical traditions, it is not uncommon to see baptismal fonts at the back of the sanctuary and to hear the phrase, "Remember your baptism." We are to remember what God has already accomplished to the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We commit ourselves to participating in this new life. Having a church community of friends to help us with this task can only be a good thing. Regularly, we recommit ourselves to believe, to follow, to learn better how to swim in those baptismal waters. Baptism by water has been around for a long time. The Qumran communities were an ascetic Jewish sect that was situated around the northern end of the Dead Sea, about 100 years before Jesus was born, until about the time, about 80 years after. Water was collected and stored in cisterns in those places so that they could get through the dry season. Researchers claim that some of these cisterns had steps in them, had steps down into them, I should say, and these were used for baptismal rites. The Qumran washings, as they were known, were renounced with the past and emphasized repentance. In this way, new members were admitted into the fellowship. And then we move on to the time of Jesus, and he made it very clear in his final words to his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Those words come from Matthew. So now let's fast forward another 1,500 years, and we find ourselves amid the Reformation. When early Anabaptists read Scripture, they understood the necessity to live a true Christian life. This meant a life patterned after the teaching and example of Christ. Actions and words needed to agree. The focus of the Christian life was not so much the inward experience of the grace of God as it was for Luther's reading of Paul, but the outward application of that grace to all human conduct and relationships. Anabaptists, and now we can also understand Mennonites in this fold, practice a voluntary church membership based on two aspects: a visible sign of personal faith and a commitment to discipleship, or in other words, a true Christian life. This is lived out through actions like mutual accountability and commitment to enthusiastic involvements in the church community and the world. As Harold Bender, a prominent professor of theology at Goshen College and Seminary, and the author of the book, The Anabaptist Vision, maintains that, and here I'll quote him, "One could only do this as a believer making his or her own decision about how to live. One can only make a commitment as a believer, someone making that decision, in order to live this way. The choice to practice adult baptism rather than infant baptism comes out of this basic understanding. At our baptism, we look back in honest assessment, but we look forward more intentionally as well. We look forward to living with Christ. One baptismal candidate suggested that baptism was his graduation. His mother challenged him to think of it more as passing a buoy in the water. It marks his current location while it encourages him to continue, to swim with energy and determination, and to not grow weary." And so we are left with a question, though, one that seems to be fairly prominent. Irma Fass-Duick, a professor at Canadian Mennonite University, observes how many students consider themselves Christians. They walk the path of Christ and are active in their churches, yet they are not baptized. Some see the church primarily as an institution without a compelling vision of Christian faith and life tied to the church. Others do not see the value of rituals and symbolic acts. If it is only water, if it is just a symbol, then why is it important? The argument goes something like this: why do I need to be baptized to be a Christian? I can participate in most aspects of the life of the church, including in many congregations' communion. Baptism does not make me more or less Christian. So why is it necessary? Fass-Duick observes, and I'm inclined to agree with her, that when we participate in baptism, things happen that we do not fully understand. Baptism involves mystery. God is at work in the world, and we cannot explain it nor comprehend it completely. Let me suggest that in baptism, believers are enabled to move from concrete reality in which water is just water into another reality in which water carries the believer into a world hidden beyond the world of facts and rationality and beyond linear understanding of time. In baptism, believers are immersed or submerged in the reality of God and the new creation. They are immersed in the grace, the love, and the mystery of God, and a new community is created where former strangers become part of the same body, seeking to live into the same goals. Baptism reminds us of the big here and the long now, a phrase coined by musician Brian Eno. We live in a time, according to Eno, when cultural tendency is to live only in the moment and in the place immediately around us. We don't move far from our comfort zones and seldom think too far ahead or too far back. Eno describes this as living in a small here and in the short now. He recognizes that the moment we live in grows out of the past and is the seed for the future. The longer our sense of now, the more past and future it includes. When we participate in baptism, we can locate ourselves in a long now and in a big here. We can bind ourselves not only to our immediate communities, but also to global ones and those in centuries past. To the baptism of Jesus and his followers in the early church who baptized and made disciples. And our baptism connects us to a future in which, in Christ, we are all made one. As Paul says, in baptism, we die to old definitions of ourselves and rise to discover our identity in Christ. In Christ, through baptism, a new creation is emerging, in which inherited social definitions are no longer basic. Baptism is that entry into the new people, the new creation, the new world. It was for the early church the distinguishing mark of this people, and it transcends previous definitions, such as those that separated the Jews and the Gentiles. While the waters of baptism do not save us, they do locate us, reminding us who we are and what is required of us. It is God who mysteriously and continuously washes us, redeeming, initiating, calling us into relationship. The waters of baptism continue to envelop us as we learn what it means to live into Christ's body, a new creation. You might say, we are continually learning how to swim. May it be so.